Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Sack the jingle man. Simple as that, we'll sack the jingle man.
I'm sure I can edit that.
With anything to you, because I didn't put your mic up.
Good enough.
It's 7 o'clock on Wednesday, and yes, you may realise we are live.
And it's all uphill from here.
It is, from Sport Towers at the Barnby Road Media Centre. Oh, let's see if the music works. It does. Our guest tonight is probably best known as the president of the Newark branch of the Lincoln City Supporters Club. But this weekend, he actually turns his attention to his other great love, squash, for a 24-hour squash-a-thon. But because he spends most of his time at football these days, he's had to bring somebody who really does know about squash along with him. Paul Drury and Dave Grant are in Sport Towers. And if you think it couldn't get any worse, we're going to have a Rob Orgill joke coming up as he joins us to talk about the Dave Lewis Challenge, which is coming up this weekend. 20 past seven for Rob. And watch out for the joke. And I've got one as well.
Joking.
Yes. And 6 days late, we finally catch up with our runner of last week. He says, hopefully. I'm Mick Bradley. He's a deluded man that thinks Scotland are going to qualify for the World Cup finals. And this is Radio Newark Sport. Now, as you know, every Wednesday I ask retired sports editor of the Newark Advertiser a sporty question to get his opinion on one of the topics of the week, and I've got two for him this week. One which gives me a chance to have a grumble and a groan, which I always like, and one which is too farcical for words. But because, as you've found out over the last couple of weeks, he's struggled so much, we're going to bring the guests in to talk about it as well. But that, of course, follows what is much more important, and that's as we find out what's happening in the local news. And one of the pleasures of this show is to report on victories over Derby, which makes the rugby club's under 14 boys the stars of the week after coming back from the dreaded city with a 22-7 win on Sunday. Daniel Chambers is gearing up for the new basketball season. The 12-year-old is training with the under-16s of National League side Mansfield Giants. And a grand from Townside that included Rhys Lewitt as captain, Danny Meadows, and Tony be chuffed about this, Tom Potts, from the start, beat Russia Olympic 7-1 at the Mears last night. But it wasn't such a good night for Southall City, as they bowed out of the Not Senior Cup at the first round stage, beating 2-1 at Gedling Miners Welfare.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Tom Potts starting for Grantham Town. Last year, Tom Potts playing for RHP on a Sunday morning. This year, starting for Grantham Town. You must be pleased.
I'm thrilled to bits. Thrilled for Simmons as well. Tom's a smashing lad and he's a great footballer, and it's great to see good lads do well in sport, in any sport, but in football especially.
And it's another local lad, it's in the big time, so to speak, isn't it?
The Newark contingent at Grantham Town is very, very impressive, but what a great result, 7-1. Shame about the clean sheet.
Took them apart, didn't they? They really did. So that was good, wasn't it? So fantastic. Okay, couple of things to talk about. Gareth Southgate has made Harry Kane the England captain because he can't make his mind up.
Is this one of the questions?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Because he can't make his mind up who's going to be captain. If you can't make your mind up who's going to be your captain, what the hell are you doing being the manager in the first place? Come on. Kane, yes, I would agree, is probably one of the best strikers in the world at the moment.
Yeah.
He's never captained a football team in his life. So they're going to give him the England captaincy. Just this once, because he's in good form. And next time, we'll give it to somebody else. That's rubbish. Your turn.
I don't think it's right to make a centre-forward captain anyway. I think your captain comes either from central defence or midfield, where they can see the whole game in front of them. And then a captain can shout something that actually makes sense and is a greater contribution than, come on, lads. Which I don't really see Harry Kane going beyond.
I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, out there are captains lining up, because I don't think there are captains lining up. We haven't got anybody at the moment who you would say, you know, he's captain material. Rooney never was.
No.
He's not. But you can't change every 5 minutes. You just can't do that.
But England are going to qualify. And then they'll have a really good 2 weeks in Russia to give the tabloid press a hell of a laugh. And then we can start talking cricket.
They've got to find who the captain is, because who's going to pick up the World Cup?
Does it really matter who's captain? Because they're rubbish. Whereas Scotland, you know, I mean...
The
captaincy really matters because of the pride of leading your country.
Right, let's get some sense into this. Paul, your take on the fact that... it's unbelievable.
I think he has actually captained. Didn't he captain him in a couple of away games?
He hasn't captained Tottenham. You know, you've got to learn to be a captain, haven't you?
Yeah. I'm with Tony on that one. I think somebody up front, it's not probably the best, but who else have we got at the moment that's a natural leader out there? Now I'm struggling to put a name, to be honest with you.
Well, there isn't one.
That's what I'm saying. It's
there just isn't one, is there?
No, and nobody jumps out at you.
And that is the problem. But if you can't make your mind up who your captain is, how can you make your mind up who your goalkeeper is or your centre half's? Or
I think the finger points to Kyle Walker, or is that just Dele Alli?
You wouldn't believe he gets paid for this, would you?
Really?
It's in the post.
Oh, not seen any of it yet.
Let's have some sense. I struggle to make any sense of it whatsoever. Dave Grant, welcome to Radio Newark. We're going to throw you straight into the deep end.
Thank you.
Not talk about squash. We're going to talk about football. That's okay. What happens when you come here. A bit closer to the mic, if you will, my friend. What do you? If you surely you've got to say, right, you are my captain. I need you. I'm going to take you back to Newcastle
what have I done?
But Jermaine Lascelles is only 20, yes. 21, 22. Benitez said, right, you are our captain, you are our leader, you go out there and act like a captain. Mm. And he's gone out into the city. Mm. He's doing interviews, he's doing everything, he's talking on the behalf of the club. He's acting like a captain. Mm. England captain can't do that because they don't know who he is. Dave, your turn.
No, that's all right. No, and Lascelles has really stepped up to the plate, hasn't he? He's scored a couple of match-winning goals, some match-winning performances in defence. And it makes some people and it breaks others, but it might make Harry Kane as a proper leader of men. But again, I agree with the two other gentlemen. I don't think a centre forward should be a captain. I think it should be a defender, midfielder, maybe even a keeper. But
the problem is, and I know the captain of a football team is not as important as the captain of a cricket team.
No, but
Harry Kane at the moment is on fire, isn't he?
Yes.
Let him do what he's doing.
Mm, yeah.
He's one of the best in the world at it. Let him do it.
I'll tell you the next England captain. Just been talking about him there. Lascelles. He's that good.
Well, he's not putting a lot wrong. He's not doing a lot wrong at the moment, is he? He really isn't. Okay, that's the rant over. This one is... You were sort of comatose at the weekend, so you won't even know the story. You two gents will know the story. When you put your hand into a fence where there is a lion, you will get it bitten.
Ah, yes, I know it.
For most people, it's good advice. Unfortunately, Wales and Ospreys hooker Scott Baldwin took the advice a little too late. What sort of person puts his hand through the railings of a line enclosure to go, here's a pretty cat then. Come on.
Someone looking for the Darwin Award, I think.
Zero.
A rugby player. The answer's in, I mean, the clue's in the answer.
Know, I don't want to call a rugby player thing, but come on.
That's what you get from rugby union, you see. Rugby league lad would never do that.
No, he'd probably took the line on him.
He'd rip the line down.
Which got me thinking, have any three of you ever heard of a better excuse, or what's the best excuse ever of you picked up for somebody not turning up to a squash match, or, you know, something to pay for? I mean, I used to have it regular on Saturday when I was secretary at Flow, so I'm not very well today, I'm really stopping in. You watch Match of the Day and saw Forrest on there. Oh, there's one, there's two, there's three. But not as silly as that.
When I was 14, I was once off school for a week. And when the teacher asked me why I'd been off, I said it was because I had vitis gerulaitis, and I got away with it.
I booked off school to go and watch Notts and Kent at Elm Avenue, to go and watch Notts and Somerset at Elm Avenue, which is probably why I'm sitting here now and not doing anything else.
We used to have a guy play squash for us years ago, and it's not that he didn't turn up, he used to turn up at the wrong place. Although he used to send the days before emails, it was always phone calls and text messages and things like that. And used to tell him where it was, what time. Well, he used to turn up at the wrong club. He used to forget the shoes. He used to forget his shorts. He used to forget his racket.
Simon Greenfield,
was it? Simon Greenfield. people know who I'm talking about. I'm not going to embarrass him by telling his name. I will do. It's Robert Sutton, but...
what, the farmer?
Yeah,
oh, Robert. Yes.
You know, Robert,
yes.
Yeah.
We all got back from Matlock, and it had gone 7 o'clock, and Simon's car wasn't back. And Kevin Preston rang him and said, have you broke down, Simon? Where are you? Well, we're actually in Buxton. Have we gone wrong? And that is absolutely, seriously genuine.
My favourite Simon Greenfield story, he went to Old Trafford to see Man United and came back on the train, and his mum said to him when he got to the door, where's your car? And he went, oh, yeah.
It took him 2 weeks to find that car, and it was still there, intact.
In Manchester. Amazing.
Oh, we can talk all night about Simon. But we're not going to talk all night about Simon, because we're going to talk about a 24-hour squashathon that's coming up. We're going to talk about the squash club. But it would be wrong of me not to mention Lincoln City, because we've got our chief Lincoln City supporter in here, who's now gone from non-league to the heights.
Dizzy heights of league.
The football league, yes. You were telling me off air, Paul, that, as I said, you know, is it as much fun anymore, and what's it like? And it is. I didn't think there'd be a big difference between National League and League Two, but you tell me there is.
There's a massive difference, yeah. Especially, like I was saying, the pace. The players are physically stronger, the bigger, the fitter. Whereas you probably in the National League, you might have one or two players who are really, really talented. Here, it's five or six players who can turn a game, pick a ball up and do something special with it. And that's the biggest difference that I've certainly noticed with the games that I've seen anyway. You look at Forest Green Rovers, who came up with us. I mean, they're really, really struggling. They're right at the bottom there. Can't get a win, can't buy a win for anything at the moment. And they're one of the biggest money spinners in that National League. They spent loads of money. They are really finding it's difficult. We're about mid-table, we're doing okay. We've only really been turned over once, that was by Notts County. We had a player sent off after 28 minutes, I think, which turned the game. We was on top up till then, but it is a big difference, massive difference.
What about off the field, the way the clubs set themselves out, the organisation of the clubs? I know you sort of know how Lincoln runs sort of internally. Is that a big step up as well?
Yeah, we've had to change a lot of things. We've sold 5,500 season tickets for a start. I mean, we weren't even averaging 5,000 last year. So we've gone all electronic with regards in season tickets. It's all swipe cards and everything now. You buy your tickets online for away games. All that's had to be put in place, because when we went down, that was the side of things that we had to drop to save money. So all that's got to be built back up again. But we were averaging, well, it's top of the averages in League Two. We're averaging 8,500 at home this year so far, and that's top in League Two, and it's 10th in League One. So it just shows you how build it and they will come. You know, we are getting the building blocks being put in place now. And what is great when you go to Lincoln on a Saturday afternoon now, you see young kids going about with Lincoln shirts on instead of Man United shirts and Chelsea shirts and Man City shirts. You know, it's, the young kids are all coming back, which is great. It's going to be sustainable for the future.
When Dave Roberts, another local lad, in fact used to work at Worthington Simpson, when he was chief exec at Sinsel Bank, he once gave me a presentation of just how well run the club is. And it's one of the best football interviews in that a chief exec was actually talking common sense instead of ambition.
Yeah.
And he says, you make sure all the bills are paid. This is how long back it's going. You make sure all the bills are paid, all the players are paid, and then you see what money you've got left, and then you give that to Keith Alexander and said, that's your transfer fee. That's your transfer kitty.
Yeah.
And Dave Roberts gave a magnificent interview and just spoke sense for about 2 hours. And that's how well run Lincoln City are as a football club.
Yeah, one of the decisions that they did take when they went down was to keep the juniors and the academy going.
Yeah, good.
So that somebody put a big sponsorship in for that to keep that going. So that's bearing fruit now. Some really good young lads coming through. One of the things they had to drop though was a training ground. They haven't got a training ground at the moment. That is going to be put right before Christmas. They're going to be getting their dedicated training ground again instead of going on to parks and school grounds, which is what they're having to do at the moment. It's not ideal, obviously.
How many players did you lose? And did the sort of vultures come in when those all successful? And
No, not really. There's only Sean Raggett that's gone. He's gone to Norwich, sold him to Norwich, but they've loaned him back to us till Christmas. If you remember, Sean Raggett was the guy that scored against Burnley, scored the winner in the last few minutes against Burnley. He's back with us until Christmas, but after that he's gone. All the rest we've held on to. Signed one or two really good players. Boswick from he was Peterborough's player of the year last year. We managed to sign him when teams like Blackburn were in for him, Rotherham were in for him. I think it was the pulling power of the Cowleys that got him.
I'm amazed you've kept that management team.
Yeah, well, we kept him, but signed him on 5-year contracts. I know it means nothing nowadays, but
no, it does. What it does mean is if they do go,
exactly.
Yes, exactly. Right, yeah. We're going to talk squash in a few minutes' time, but first of all, we're going to see if we can find our great friend Rob Allgill. Okay, time to go to the telephones for the first time tonight, and a special friend of Radio Nutsport joins us, who's got a big, big weekend coming up for New York Athletic Club. Rob Allgill, good evening.
Good evening, Mick.
It is a big weekend, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's a Dave Lewis Challenge, which is always a good day out.
It's where Newark Athletic Club, for possibly the only time in the year, go away from running, and you go orienteering.
Well, it's sort of orienteering-y, walking-y, running-y things. It's, we team up with the Long Distance Walkers Association to put on two events in memory of one of our former members, Dave Lewis, who sadly died about 20 years ago, but it's a memorial event to him.
Well, he's actually been talking about Reese tonight, his son, so... Dave would have been very proud of Reese. So just go into a bit more detail then, Rob, about what's this all about and if anybody can actually join in if they fancy trudging round Kelham and Arum or places like that.
Yeah, it's two events. One is about 11 miles and the other one is just over 27 miles. And you can run it, you can walk it. You've got a 10 and a half hour cut-off on the longer one. The long one takes you up to through Batley and up through Norrell and Norrell Woodhouse and loops round and back to Cornton and then out down through Upton and out to the river and back. It's a really nice walk if you fancy walking that distance. If you fancy a shorter walk. It's about 11 miles, that takes you up through Batley, across to Cornton, back down through part of Nottinghamshire I didn't know existed, an area called Kelham Hills and Debdale Hill, and then you come back to the Kelham Fox Pub where it starts and finishes. So it's a really nice walk. Anyone can enter. The long one starts at half past eight, So we'd ask people to sort of come to the pub and register before 8, ideally, and the shorter one goes at 9, so please get there sort of before 8:30. But everybody is welcome. £10 and £14 entry fees. If you're under 15, you get in free. You know, it's a good day out.
How many do you expect coming along for it then, Rob?
We usually get 35, 40 in each one. It's a real mix of people. Some people will come, turn up and run really quite swiftly around the long one. Some people come and they're in, you know, a couple of minutes before the cut-off time. A real mix of people. There's a community of long-distance walkers that seem to meet every Saturday to do this sort of event. They really seem to enjoy it. We've changed it a little bit from last year, just so people don't get sort of too bored or too complacent. But yeah, it's good. And the funds go to charities, so give them a little plug, if I may.
You may.
The rugby club has the Victoria Lions Foundation raising funds for the young Victoria who was sadly injured in a family road accident a few years ago. She's doing well, but the rugby club have contacted us and they've asked if some of the funds raised could go to that.
Excellent. That's very close to our hearts.
Yeah, really good. A number of members of the rugby club are raising sponsorship by doing the event through that. So there's some funds will go to them, and some funds will go to a local MS support group. One of our very dear to our heart club members is sadly been diagnosed with MS. So that's something that, as a club, we are very supportive of.
And I hope that we've sort of talking to that member. She's going to come in and talk about it hopefully next week as well. So on both those, we're very. We feel very close on them, Rob. Are you doing it, Rob, or are you out marshalling?
I'm at a checkpoint. The other thing to mention is invariably at the checkpoints there's drinks and there's cake and biscuits. And
that's why you're there.
So Louise, my wife, and as you know, sort of carer, she'll be baking on Friday to be able to feed people. We're out somewhere. Just the other side of Cornton is our checkpoint. All I hope is this year Louise doesn't get in the car and leave her telephone on the roof of it and I drive off while it's still on the roof, because the following day I went up and ran all the way back from there, the other side of Cornton. I found the phone within the first 50 yards, by which point Louise had driven off in my car. So I had a lovely run down the side of the Ollerton Road all the way back to Newark.
I shall come and see you on Saturday, Rob. It'll be part of my trip around the sports ground. So you're somewhere around Cornton.
Yeah, if you go up the Ollerton Road, you know there's the far side of Cornton, there's a big house that stands on the road, a farmhouse, and there's a small little lane that goes up by the side of it.
Right.
If you go up there, we're just up there. We're going to have hundreds of listeners turning up wanting a piece of cake. Now,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, you are. You should be selling the cake. We cannot talk to Rob Orgill without having a Rob joke. It's tradition. It's a tradition of the sports show.
Can't we?
We can't. No, you've got to stick with tradition. Mr. Orgill, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. And I'll try and keep it clean. Because I was chatting to this bloke the other day, and he got a dog that did magic tricks. And I said, that's remarkable. What breed is he? And he said, oh, he's a Labrador. I do apologise, everyone.
Okay, I can get worse than that. Tony spent the weekend, believe it or not, in Skegness a couple of weekends ago. Why? Nobody really knows, but that's another long story. But while he was there, he was working on the Dodgems until they got the sack. But it's not a problem. He's suing them for funfair dismissal. We're here all week, Rob, aren't we?
Oh, that's good. I can we do a sort of joke swap, phoning one night, perhaps?
Please, no.
Rob, the best to look at on Saturday. It's a fantastic, two fantastic causes. I hope the weather's kind to you all.
That's helpful. Before people go, if they want to find out more, there's an entry form and a little bit more on the Newark Athletic Club website on the Dave Lewis bit. So if anyone's sort of whetted their appetite, have a look at it. And Rob Ellis, his phone number and details are on there. He's actually organising it. And anyone with a coal fire will remember Bob as the chimney sweep.
A lovely walk.
Yeah.
You see we'll a chimney sweep. Cakes, wine, jokes. Oh, it's everything. I'll see you on Saturday, Rob.
Yeah. You'd certainly need the wine.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Thanks, everyone.
Let's hope it goes well, and we'll probably try and hopefully catch up with you next week so we can find out just how well it did go.
That'll be great. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Cheers.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye. The wonderful Rob Orgill. I do love talking to Rob, and he's always puts a smile on your face, and that's what it's all about. And then I have to talk to Tony Smith.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
And these are a few of the national headlines. And Scotland manager Gordon Strachan's giving nothing away over his midfield selection for tomorrow night's game against Slovakia. Stuart Armstrong and Scott Brown are both injured for the crucial qualifier at Hampden. Callum McGregor, John McGinn and Barry Brannan have all been touted as replacements. Glasgow City are up against it if they want to make it in the next round of the Women's Champions League. They lost 3-0 in the first leg in Kazakhstan to somebody who I've got no chance of pronouncing. And tonight, Chelsea are at home to Bayern Munich, and Manchester City are in Austria to face St. Pötten. There you go, see, it's women's sport, it's fantastic. Has Lincoln got a women's football team?
No,
not getting. No? Oh, dear, letting the job down. Durham batsman John Burnham has been banned from cricket for a year after testing positive for a recreational drug. It was picked up from a hair sample and tested last month. They're talented. They've got everything in front of them as sportsmen, and they still act like idiots.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Lincoln City Ladies was a very good side, but then they went to Meadow Lane and
it's all gone.
It wasn't quite so successful, was it? Because Lincoln City Ladies, when they began, used to play at Collingham Football Club.
They did. Moving on, as time's going to beat me. Right, moving on. We've already heard about one big charity event going off this weekend with Rob and Newark Athletic Club and Dave Lewis Challenge. We have another one, but a couple of minutes before I talk that, when the lads first come into this radio station to talk about the Grove Squash Club, I got the impression that everything wasn't well. It was meandering along a little bit. There was no youngsters coming through. The facilities was tired. They couldn't attract anybody. And I left that night thinking, well, I wonder how much longer there will be a Grove Squash Club. 18 months later on, the facilities are second to none for Newark. How's the rest of the Grove Squash Club's outlook changed, Mr. Drury?
Yeah, it's like you say, 18 months is a long time since we left the old Grove Leisure Centre. Last year, we struggled a little bit to attract new players, but Club Night was one of our biggest successes end of last season, start of this season, and we regularly get 12 players, 13 players every Monday night to that. And out of that, we've managed to start a third team this year for the Nottinghamshire Leagues. So it's a few years since we've had three teams in the Nottinghamshire Leagues. And the Lincolnshire League team got promoted last year to the Premiership, in Lincoln Premiership. So Team Squash is looking very, very buoyant again. As you say, it did start taking a dip. We struggled to attract the players, but they're coming back now. Juniors, that starts again, coincides with the Squashathon on Friday. At the end of last season, we regularly had 16 juniors Friday night, coached by our club coach Phil Hyatt. So that's coming along now, and there's one or two of those showing really good signs for the future. We hopefully one or two of them might be progressing into the Nottinghamshire setup this year. That's the aim.
Would you say that resurgence is purely down to the power of Radio Newark?
Oh, it's got to have something to do with it.
But it's fair to say that when you first come in here, then there was no juniors. Now you've got juniors everywhere. And yeah. What did we talk about on this show? Not that we want to take any credit whatsoever. Yeah. We've made the ladies' rugby team, haven't we? Yep. We've sorted them out.
That's our next target, to get a ladies' team. So any help with that, Mick, you can do.
All right, we'll see what we can do.
We actually got rid of Sepp Blatter, didn't we?
We got rid of Sepp Blatter. You upset Putin. Right, we're going to talk about the squash club a little bit later, if time allows. But I'm desperate to talk about the squash you're fun. 24 hours solid squash playing. Obviously not the same two all the time. But I understand that some of you are actually spending 24 hours solid at the leisure centre. So let's find out whose bright idea it was, what you're raising money for, and why.
Yeah, I was inspired by excuse me, let me just clear my throat before
Theresa May.
Yes. And then we can get going.
Never heard of her.
I was inspired by a group of friends of mine from over in Nottingham. Four guys, and they did a charity golf event where they played four rounds of golf, started at something like 4 a.m, didn't finish till gone 9:30 at night, and they said it was the hardest thing they ever did, but they raised a lot of money for charity. I can't play golf at all, terrible golfer, so I wanted to do something through squash to raise money for a local charity. And so I suggested, I think it was probably back in June, I suggested to the committee that we wanted to run this 24-hour squash-a-thon and raise money for Beaumont House. It was very well received by the committee. Everyone was on board straight away. And basically, I was just the ideas man. Everybody's pulled together and we've made it happen. So, yeah, I think it's probably about 14, 15 of us that will be taking part in the event. Three or four of us will be there for the whole 24 hours, starting at 6 o'clock this Friday, running through till 6 on the Saturday.
It's going to be interesting when you turn up at the leisure centre on Saturday morning and say, why are those people in sleeping bags? I don't take this, I'm just the ideas man, because somebody has to do an awful lot of hard work to make this to happen. The first thing you got to make to happen is to convince the leisure centre authorities to keep the thing open all night.
Yeah, we did. We've been very well supported by the leisure centre, amongst some other key supporters as well. But yeah, special thanks goes out to the leisure centre, because they will be keeping it open all night, and obviously providing lighting and heating if necessary, and a member of staff. They've said that there's a lock-in session, so I think between 10 p.m. and 6 in the morning, they have to lock the doors for security purposes. So whoever's in there then is in for the night shift. But
make a note of that. Leave before 10 p.m.
Get out of there, or we sleep for the night.
I don't think Paul's any stranger at lock-ins.
Taking it down two octaves. You're starting off with the youngest and the oldest.
Yeah, that's right. Paul's mentioned that the...
Paul's...
I'm the youngest, yes, that's right.
I won't go in that way, no.
Yeah, with the juniors coaching session starting again this week, we thought it'd be a great way to kick off the event. And so we've got the youngest member of the club. He's going to be playing against the oldest, Paul.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of the youngest. It's a guy, a little lad called Eli DeAngis, and Thomas Gibson as well. They'll be starting off with a few of the other youngsters against Pete Mosdale, who's 76. So he'll be starting off. So we've got a 7-year-old against a 76-year-old kicking off at 6 o'clock on Friday. And it'll just carry on from there, really. We just keep rolling off. And
in itself, though, that's a good advert, isn't it?
Yeah.
A 7 against a 76-year-old. I mean, that is a good advert that you can start as young as you like and you can go on and forever and a day.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the way Pete's still running around. He's still very, very active. It's brilliant to watch him. It's great stuff. Yeah, it is.
So have you got sort of food and drink being delivered then, is it?
We have. Morrison's very kindly offered to support us and send down some energy drinks and snacks, so that's going to help. We've suggested that people bring their own stuff as well, just to get them through the night. And we've broken the event down into various slots. And so, as I say, three or four people are doing the whole 24 hours, but various people are turning up and saying, yeah, we'll do the night shift, or other people are coming down doing the Saturday morning shift or the Saturday afternoon shift. So everybody's supporting in some way.
Have you got a total in mind? You know, what would you like to raise? And tell us where it's going, but please.
Yeah, so raising money for Beaumont House. I'm sure everybody, all the listeners will know that it's a great charity to support in Newark. When I initially set up the Just Giving page, can I give the address of that if people want to go online?
Yes,
so it's justgiving.com /fundraising/David-Grant30 if people would like to go down and support us in any way they can, that would be greatly appreciated.
I'm sure Paul will send me all those details so I can put them on our Facebook and website, because you've already known what the power of radio can do. it's got your junior section. So yeah, please, joking apart, send them, and then we can put them. So the total.
Yes. Initially, when I set it up, we thought we'd go for perhaps £1,000. Was a good target to go for, because we really didn't know what support we'd get and how many people would be keen in participating and supporting. But we've had some fantastic sponsorship through people connected with the club. The club number one, his company, have donated £1,000. That's a company called MHR. They're an East Midlands-based company that delivers HR solutions.
Well, that's got that sorted to start with, hasn't it? That's got that target reached.
Absolutely. So we've hit that already. And then a couple of other companies to mention. A local one, St. Gobain Formula, donated £250. And Vitality Health and Life, today, they donated £250 as well. So many, many thanks to those organisations for donating the money. And then from the Just Giving page, we're probably up at about £400-450. So that's taken us up to about...
So you're £2,000, aren't you?
Already.
So you've doubled.
Yeah,
you've doubled.
Absolutely. So we've done very well.
Absolutely fantastic. Paul, is this almost the next step into making the squash club, the pro... up in this profile as a squash club? You know, you've got your state-of-the-art courts, people can actually see what you're doing. Now it's time to just up in that profile. So instead of all keeping yourself to yourself and playing your matches, get out there and get into the public.
Yeah, well, we're already doing that anyway, because as you know now, where the courts are at Newark, the glass-backed, people can walk past and see you playing squash. So we're already getting that footfall, people coming in and watching the games and thinking, oh, I'd like to have a go at that. Whereas at the old courts, we never used to get that. So we're definitely feeling that already. But obviously, as Dave says, it's a great cause that we're raising the money for. But we hope as well that people will come on the day, give the money on the day. There's going to be buckets there on the day. And... If they like what they see, they can come and have a game, and we'll hopefully try to pick a few members up on the back of it as well, and raise the profile of the club in that way as well. So, yeah, it's an opportunity, I think, for the club to take that next step, like you say. But and the main thing is obviously to help this great cause, which in Newark, obviously, everybody knows.
I'm so pleased that you decided to keep your name as the Grove Squash Club, even though it wasn't, but you've kept the name. It's tradition. Yeah. You've kept the name. Your thoughts on the way the Grove ended its life?
Yeah, that Friday night. Yeah, very. Although the courts, to be fair, the squash courts had gone a couple of months prior to that. They went very early when the school got demolished. But it was a sad night. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You've been in and out of that sports centre.
A few stories can be told there, I think. But because the original squash courts, obviously, we had four squash courts in the old leisure centre at the Grove.
Just had to put active for today right on that one. Sports centre.
The glass back court, which was the first one that went, that got turned into the first gym, and then the other three courts got turned into what ended up to be the bigger gym when it got expanded, and that's when we got the only two courts left then, with the two outside connected to the school. And the club really did sort of never recovered from that, really. They weren't attractive, couldn't, you know, struggle to get people to come and watch, they were cold, and we couldn't be more different now to what we've got now. Total chalk and cheese.
As I've said on, I think it was the show the Monday after the fire, I was at Calverton Miners Welfare with Flowserve, and somebody in the dugout said, I think it was Craig Roach, one of the joint managers, said to me, "Hey, Tone, the leisure centre's burnt down at Newark, or burning down." I said, "Which one?" He said, "There's only one." And I thought to myself, it could actually be more tragic than it has been, really. You know, it was all said, a derelict building that's gone up, as opposed to losing that facility we've got now, which is second to none.
That would be unthinkable. OK, let's just have a quick chat on the season, because the season's finished now, hasn't it? The
season's just started.
Just starting again.
Just starting.
Lincoln was your big success.
Yeah, the Lincoln team got finished up runners-up in Division 1 last year.
Are you two part of the Lincoln team?
Yes.
That's it then.
Yes, we were.
Brag about it.
We were.
Shout about it.
I think we're gonna have the same feeling as the Lincoln football team. I think the step up is going to be massive to play in the Premier, Lincoln Premier next year.
But surely, this is what I can't understand about some people who don't want to go up.
Oh, it's not that we don't want
South
to go.
Southall Brinkley ladies won the Notts Hockey Premier Cup this year, and they didn't want to go up because of the difference. Don't you want to play against, match yourselves against better players?
Yeah, there is that. We've lost our number one as well this year, who played in the Lincoln team last year. He's retired. But we have drafted a couple more players in, so hopefully we're looking reasonably strong. But we're under no illusions. It's going to be a challenge, but a challenge that we're all looking forward to and relishing.
It's what you play for, though.
It's what you play for,
Dave. It's what you play sport for.
Yeah, you want to better yourself, and it's the only way you're going to improve by playing against better players. When I first started playing squash, I played against the same regular partner for 10, 15 years. We learned how to beat each other, but we didn't improve our own game. So, yeah, you're right. By playing against better players, you improve yourself.
And it's nice when they come to the new leisure centre, isn't it, now, and you say, look at our facilities.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, the feedback we've had from all the clubs in the first season.
You're not embarrassed anymore.
No, far from it. I mean, the feedback we get, they are amongst the best courts in Nottinghamshire and Lincolnshire that we've been to now. They really are top rate.
What about the other teams then?
Yeah, as I say, the first team in Nottinghamshire, they will start off this year in Division 1 in Nottinghamshire, which is good. The third team are in Division 3, and we've just started third team, which is mainly based of players who've come through club night, and with it's an introduction league 5 in Nottinghamshire. So that these are guys who a lot of them have not played team squash before, don't really know what it's about. It's a learning curve for them, and it's the first step into the proper team squash. So it's a development league, but it's competitive as well. So we've got three teams in Nottinghamshire for the first time for a few years.
And let's go back to where we begun, and that with the youngsters. I mean, the joking apart, you must, both of you, be so pleased now that squash in Newark seems to be becoming popular again.
Yeah.
It's certainly thriving. The amount of people that turn up at club night, and I play regularly on Saturday mornings, and there's people sat outside watching, and they're encouraged to come and join up as well. And the fact that we've got such a thriving youngsters group that are coming through as well, it's just really good for squash in Newark.
Yeah, definitely. It's the juniors and the club night which have really been the big success as far as I'm concerned over the last 12 months. And it wouldn't have happened at the other courts. It just wouldn't have happened.
So where's it all going to lead the Grove Squash Club to then? What I assume you've got a roadmap of where you want to take it to now, because instead of hoping that next week you're all still there...
Still walking.
Now you can see a way forward.
Yeah, we've got a couple of things we'd like to carry on. One is to try and get more women playing and get a ladies team in the Nottinghamshire leagues.
Have you got any ladies?
We have not joined, but we have ladies who play, but nothing formal yet. So the next step is to try and get them formalised into playing each other in a team maybe next year. And as well, I think we're going to have enough players probably to enter another Lincoln team next year. That's another thing I'd like to do. And hopefully see some of the juniors, which we've got now, in the next 2 or 3 years progressing to the teams as well. That's the aim, really.
It just occurs to me, though, that if you're playing squash from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m, that takes you through a Saturday afternoon.
Yes, I miss Chesterfield at home. That's devotion for you.
You're not going to sneak out then halfway through the day?
I'm not going to sneak out, no. I've already put me...
just keep an eye on
I've
him,
put
Dave.
Me ticket, I'll put my ticket up. Anybody wants my ticket, £10 donation to the Squashathon. So anybody wants to do that.
And you can go and watch Lincoln.
And you can go and watch Lincoln as well.
Lincoln against Chesterfield. Well, I have one more Squashathon chat and a reminder that you can go and watch him and what it's all about... just before we close. But next up, fingers crossed, last week's runner of the week. Our last guest before we broke up for our summer break was Tom Mallinson, and we talked all things football, all things junior football, because he's a coach at Nottingham Forest, and then found out he decided to run a marathon. First one I think he's ever done in his life, and he decided to run the Robin Hood Marathon with some of his friends from Forest for a very, very good cause, and we couldn't let that one go without a chat. So it's a very good evening. Back to Radio Newark to Tom Mallinson. Tom, good evening.
Good evening, Mick. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Have you fully recovered?
Yes, fully recovered now after a week or so where I was moving very, very fragilely, shall I say.
Now, I used to watch you play football on a regular basis, and you was all over that pitch. You was perpetual motion. That's one thing, because you was actually chasing football or doing whatever you should be doing on there. Running a marathon is a completely different objective. Just talk us through how you decided between you all at Forest to do it, the reasons why, and what went into it.
So, it had been, not July, on the one prior, one of the one of my colleagues who I work with at Nottingham Forest Academy, he's a physio, was diagnosed with testicular cancer, and he went through all of his therapy and that and got the all clear. Sort of 10 months afterwards, he had two brand newborn twins, and so him and his wife obviously had a really tough time with all of that. But obviously now he's been given the all clear, which is fantastic. And he said, well, he's come through such a massive task of his body, he wanted to put something else to task of his body. So he asked 11 of us members of staff at Forest, some from coaching like myself, some from our sports science, some from physio, some from the first team, some from the academy, and we all said that we'd want to do the marathon with him. Obviously we're all from Nottingham area, so we did the Nottingham Robin Hood Marathon. It was some very early starts where the three, four, five of us would get to Nottingham for sort of 5:30 in the morning before we'd get to work, just do a few training runs together, and then crack on with work for the rest of the day, and then and get home late at night. But it was a really, really good team effort, obviously, for a fantastic cause where we raised loads of money. Loads of the first team staff at Forest, they joined in as well. The playing staff donated quite a large amount as well. But we raised loads of really good money for a fantastic cause, and it was fantastic. When we watched every single one of us cross the line, it was a very emotional day for us all, but it was fantastic. It was a fantastic experience.
Do you have a figure yet of what you all raised?
Well, I think from the last count, I think it was over £5,000.
Wow.
Which, like I say, it's amazing. Obviously, with it being so close to home, with us working with the member of staff. I've known him for quite a few years, but we're a very close knit member of staff that we work 6-7 days a week together. And obviously, with the timing of him having twins born, and then only a few months later having to be diagnosed, it was obviously really shook us all. But thankfully now everything's all clear. He's given the all clear, and he did the marathon in a really, really good time. But yeah, it was fantastic, fantastic day.
Now listen to this next bit, Tony. What was your time, Tom?
I did it in 3:38.
For a first marathon.
That is very impressive, Tom.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
I actually did see him on when he got back home on the night he'd done it, and yeah, thought, okay, that's you for the week.
Yeah, it was a very slow getting up off the sofa to come answer the door.
Yeah, Kelly says he will come and talk to you, and he didn't want to come and talk to me.
Yeah.
So that's marathon number one, Tom. Have you got the marathon bug? Do you now have the running bug?
Definitely. I've always enjoyed running. My dad, when he was younger, he used to run for Yorkshire, and his claim to fame was always that he'd be Sebastian Coe in a marathon race when he was a youngster. He beat him, maybe not a marathon as such, but it was a long distance race. And from there, he was always a very good athlete. So I used to always run for school doing sort of 800 metres and up from that. But I've, like I say, when I play football, I enjoy sort of running around the pitch. The time's been called the headless chicken running.
We did wonder sometimes where you was running to, but yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially when the game had finished, I was still running. Yeah. But I've always enjoyed the running stuff, but never like the longest thing I'd ever run was probably like 10 miles, if that. And then after doing the marathon, the training was in a weird way. I really enjoyed it because I enjoy sort of setting myself times and having to beat it. So when I was doing sort of. I'd do like a 10-mile loop from my house, and then I'd start building up, and then I knew after a mile I had to hit certain times, and trying to knock that time down from time, like getting less and less. I really enjoy that that feeling of right, I'm beating myself, and setting those times, because it's quite a lonely run doing 26.2 miles. It was a really good competition for me against myself, so I knew I had to get certain times at certain checkpoints, and I'm thoroughly enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the training. Didn't enjoy feeling how I felt afterwards, but it was definitely something I want to do again, and will be looking to do probably again early next year.
You and Kelly for next year's Newark Half Marathon.
Definitely me. Definitely not Kelly.
Oh dear.
She gets out of breath walking down the stairs. So, but no, definitely.
And that's another story after 9 o'clock.
So quite a few of the guys who did the marathon, we're looking to do there's a 10K at Woolerton Park where in November, I think it's November the mid-November 19th, I think. So we're looking to do that in under 40 minutes is my target. So that's my that's the next one. But they're looking for next year a marathon at some point.
Let us know how you get on in November, Tom.
I was certainly
Woolerton. I'm just writing it down so I don't forget. Tom, brilliant. And for last week, you are our last week's runner of the week. Radio Notes runner of the week. Not many get that accolade.
Thank you very much.
The check's in the post. Tom Mallison, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Tom. Bye.
3:32 for your first marathon.
That's a cracking time.
That's some going, isn't it? Yeah. Right, boys, time's going to beat us soon. We need to know once again all about the squash event. Can anybody come and watch it? How do they get past the door at the sports centre?
Yeah, please do. If you just turn up and speak to the good people on the front desk that you want to come up and speak with us and support us and... they'll let you through and come up and watch for a
come
bit.
And give them a cheer, put some money in the bucket and bring them a cake. And
absolutely.
Then they'll be quite happy.
Yes,
and they really will. They want people there to just cheer them on a bit. And 6 p.m. on Friday to 6 p.m. on Saturday. Radio Note's going to pop along on Friday evening to have a look at you all. The best of luck to you. That's all I can say. It's going to be an epic, isn't it? And we'll probably try and catch you on the phone next week sometime, one of you,
and
just
fine.
Tell me
you.
How you got on. We'll give you time to recover and give you time to get over missing Lincoln and Chesterfield.
Thanks, mate.
And just see how you got on. But two splendid efforts tonight, Tony. The Squashathon and the Dave Lewis Challenge. Mm. Sport there, raising money for three very, very good local charities.
I just love the idea that they're doing it for Victoria. Because she's very close to our hearts here, and the family obviously, and it's great news to know that she's been supported still. When it would have been easy to forget, you know, but she's still there at the forefront.
And she most certainly is, and she'll never move anywhere else from where we are. So, all the tonight's stories, people have contacted me, told me about them, and we've put them on here at Radio Newark. So nice and simple, mick@radionewark.co.uk. If you've got a sports story, tell me. And with a bit of luck, you'll end up in the studio talking to me and Mr. Smith here. And tomorrow night, Paul Johnson's coming into the studio. Jono, one of the best ever cricketers that Nottinghamshire have produced. And he'll have opinions on Ben Stokes, the Ashes series, and all things like that. I'm absolutely sure of that. So we're going to sit back tomorrow night and listen to Jono as he talks cricket. But next, a man who's got opinions on everything 1960s. Because he knows all about the 1960s, the great Mr. Doug Hall.